I think that this may be a time to declare a no-fly zone in Libya.
The biggest factor in that, or one of the biggest factors in that, is the fact that our own democracy is so screwed up.
Have you gotten a good look at Governor Walker? He is an odd-looking dude. His head is asymmetrical, yes. He's one of those people who, if you drew a parallel line across his eyes and across his lips, those lines would meet somewhere to the side of his face. When they stop the drum machine and I can think of him, I remember what it was.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I don't know who I am. What do you think? Should I be Dragonfly again?
Well, you know, we set the precedent last time. So
yeah.
I think you might have to be Dragonfly for a while.
For a while. All right. Well, I am, in fact, still drinking Dragonfly, so I'm Dragonfly. Well,
then you're it. You're Dragonfly.
All right.
And this is Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Today is Monday, February 28th, the end of the F month, 2011. And this is episode 176. And I think we've got a little bit more of a serious bent to this show, Max. So why don't you take it away and give it
All
to
right.
us.
It's funny now that I think about it that there's a little bit of a tie-in with The Simpsons on this first thing I wanted to bring up, which is, do you remember a Simpsons episode? I think the mafia guys were after Homer for something. And there's a knock on the door, and Homer's like, who is it? And the guys are like, goons, hired goons. Which is just the best line, I think. Maybe it's hard to pick the best line. What's the best line ever in The Simpsons?
Simpsons did it. That's actually a South Park line.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But anyway, so I want to talk briefly about hired goons, because that's what's going on in Libya. And it's news.
Okay.
Just Libya in general. I was listening to Planet Money, and I've never heard the term a rentier state. They called Libya a rentier state. And they said that 80-some percent of the money from the economy of the country is directly from oil. And another 12% is oil supplies.
So that's like 98%.
Right.
Or 97%, whatever.
Right. And that's all controlled by Gaddafi.
Right.
And they said people in Libya go to work with one coat, hang up the coat, don't do anything in that job, because not only are they not have to work, they're kind of afraid to work because Gaddafi is in control of everything. And they mentioned a guy who went to one of the better schools in England, I can't remember, Exeter or something like that, and then wanted to go get his doctorate at Oxford. And Gaddafi said, no, come home and work in this business. And knowing that he would go to this other job and he would do nothing because that's all he was allowed to do.
Right.
And that's true with everybody in Libya, and they're utterly wasting talent. And they're completely not creating anything. The only thing the whole country does is pump oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just
scary,
a shame.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, all the money goes through Gaddafi. But
sure.
The hired goons thing is that he's got so much money that he's paying sub-Saharan Africans to come into Libya, giving them machine guns, or maybe they had them, and they're shooting innocent protesters in the streets. This is not Egypt.
Right.
So I just wanted to sort of...
It's not Wisconsin either.
And I have something about that, too. I wanted to note that because I just think it's kind of amazing. And then I wanted to talk about... It's the thing is what happens when I go off listening to podcasts. Egypt. Because Egypt is even more amazing.
Uh-huh.
They said, basically, the reason, this is Planet Money again, the reason that the army did not attack the civilians in Egypt is because they're their customers, and that the Egyptian army controls something like 30 or 40% of the economy. They make washing machines, they make bottled water, and they run resorts.
The army does.
The army does.
Wow, that's weird, huh?
Yeah, and the people of Egypt, they basically what happened, they had a peace dividend. Once Sadat signed a peace treaty with Israel, the army had less to do. And so they just sort of put them in charge of these glorious Mediterranean beaches, and they started running resorts. And then I'm not really sure how they got into the whole building washing machine thing, but they're
well, it's probably because they use tank parts or something.
Maybe, but they are manufacturers,
right.
and they're just, you know, everyday citizens.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
So that's why they didn't do that.
Yeah. So Egypt, Libya, completely different situations. The army in Egypt, I mean, this is classic high school compare and contrast. The army in Egypt is making production items, and the producers in Libya aren't doing anything.
Right, right. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It could very, very well be a real good example of why we may need to keep our noses out of a lot of people's other people's business, because they're just so different from us. I mean, you know.
Well, but here's the thing. We don't and have not for probably 60 years stand up for democracy in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we don't is because we are defending the dictatorship-run oil interests.
Right.
But, you know, we think of ourselves as this purest country. And sure. I'm a big believer in democracy.
And because of that, we're hypocrites.
Exactly.
Because we sit there and say, democracy, 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 except when our interests are for not democracy.
Right, exactly.
And we support that, and that's nuts.
And so we inflict democracy on Iraq.
Because it suits us.
Because it suits us. And by the same logic, which I will concede is faulty logic, we should be attacking Egypt and Libya.
For the same reasons.
For
right?
the same
but
reasons.
We don't.
Right. Now, I feel that – right. Bill Clinton used our military to defend Muslims in Bosnia. I think that this may be a time to declare a no-fly zone in Libya. I think if we stood up and said, I'm sorry, we're not going to let you use your Air Force to bomb your own people. Bill Clinton said his biggest regret was not doing anything in Rwanda. You know, here's our chance. We're so God, I don't know what, gloriously pro-democracy. The people in Libya are screaming for democracy, and they're being repressed by hired goons, you know, by some clown from the fucking Simpsons.
Right.
And it's about time we stood up for democracy. And I'm not saying put – this is going to sound contradictory. I'm not saying put – our soldiers in harm's way, but I guess I am saying let's put our Air Force officers in harm's way.
Right.
But I have a feeling, considering recent history, that our Air Force could pick them apart reasonably safe. Yeah.
Well, we did it. We did it in Iraq, so
they never had a chance against
right.
our Air Force.
Right. So.
So I think what would happen, already some Air Force officers in Libya have defected and taking their planes with them. If we stood up and said, we're not going to let you attack your people with your Air Force, not putting any troops on the ground, I think these guys, who are probably wavering over the idea of attacking their own people anyway, they get one taste of the United States Air Force, and they're going to go, fuck it.
Right, they're going to fly right out of there.
They're all going to Malta.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's stand up for democracy at least a little bit. I'm tired of Obama.
It would be nice if we were consistent, right?
Right. And the fact is, we're plainly hypocritical, and we're plainly only doing what is in our own economic self-interest.
Right.
Which also you could argue defending Libyan civilians would be in our own economic self-interest. You could argue that either way.
Sure.
Gaddafi is stable.
Right. Getting back to what you were saying before, I mean, the hypocrisy of the whole thing.
Right.
All right. Is, you know, the biggest factor in that, or one of the biggest factors in that, is the fact that our own democracy is so screwed up.
Yes.
You know, I mean, look what's happening in Wisconsin. Look what's happening in the Senate and Congress.
Yeah.
And sit there and tell me that our democracy is healthy and strong and smart. And it's ridiculous.
Our democracy has been subverted. I agree with you. You want to talk about Wisconsin? What do you think?
Hey, sure.
I'm guessing you're going to be in favor of the civil service workers.
Oh, absolutely. What are you, nuts? You know, first of all, this is the first taste of that Supreme Court decision coming home to roost.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
Do you have any idea how much money the Koch brothers spent in terms of
this asshole governor?
This asshole governor and why they spent it?
I'm not sure why they spent it. I think it's pronounced Koch.
I know why, and I'll tell you. Koch, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so David Koch, the one brother, gave $1 million himself. Koch Industries gave another $1 million, both of that to the Republican Governors Association.
Oh, I know where you're going, yes.
They run the Americans for Prosperity. That group spent $50 million on the midterm elections this year. $50 million on the midterm elections this year.
And bought themselves some goodwill, good-ass governors.
The Republican Governors Association gave $5 million to Walker to win that election. So obviously the Koch money was a critical factor in that.
Yes.
All right? Now, this is what a lot of people don't know. But Governor Walker's budget, where he's trying to crush the unions,
right,
that's not the only power play that's involved there.
Right.
Because there is a provision in that
union contract?
Right. That said, no, in the budget,
yeah,
that said that would allow for no bid sales of state-owned power plants.
Wow.
Okay? Now, let me see if you can guess who owns the biggest chemical company, oil company, and coal company in Wisconsin?
Koch Industries.
Absolutely. All three of them.
And
so
it gets worse.
They're going to be able to buy into those power monopolies for pennies.
Yeah.
And it's only starting with, you know, crushing the unions. But that's only the start. Though, you know, this is going to be like Detroit in the
70s and 80s.
No, in that movie with the robot cop, RoboCop.
Oh.
You know, that's what you're going to be left with. You're going to be left with all these poor people who have nothing to live for, nothing going for them.
And hope.
And about five people are going to have all the money.
Right. Right. Well, we're pretty much at oligarchy levels now.
Mm-hmm.
But another factor in this is that the unions typically vote Democrat, and the Democrats typically take care of the union.
Right.
And if they can break the union, then the union can't collect union dues and spend it on political campaigns.
Absolutely. That's another big part of it. Sure.
So they're out to kill the Democratic Party, which unions aren't obligated to give money to the Democrats. They just happen to do it because the Democrats tend to
favor working people.
Now, the first thing I want to say is, have you gotten a good look at Governor Walker? He is an odd-looking dude.
I can't tell you that I've looked at him in that way. I know that his head seems kind of asymmetrical.
His head is asymmetrical, yes. He's one of those people who, if you drew a parallel line across his eyes and across his lips, those lines would meet somewhere to the side of his face.
Right.
Which has always weirded me out. But if you look at his eyebrows, he looks like he's shocked. He's got his eyebrows raised like, oh, my God. The first part of the top of his head says, oh, my God. And his eyes don't open completely. So right. His eyes say, I want to take a nap. And the combination is this, oh, my God, I want to take a nap. And then if you listen to
it. Well, you know where that's from. That's from one of the Koch brothers having his hand up your ass, making him be a little puppet. That's where that's from. That's where that look is from.
It's not, oh, my God, I want to take a nap. It's, oh, my God, that feels good.
Right. And, I've had it with all this union bashing. This is absolutely ridiculous. You know, the thing that got me about this, the hypocrisy of the – I mean, this is the hypocrisy show. You know, the hypocrisy of this whole thing is that he can stand there with a straight face, Walker.
Yeah.
And he can say it's about time that the working people have to give a little something extra or give a little something back, while at the same time he campaigned on not making the rich corporations pay a dime more.
Yeah. It
which is hypocrisy in action.
Absolutely. He's a complete tool. He's a
and then Fox News just beating that drum unbelievably. You know, Rush Limbaugh says you're either on the side of the protesters or you're on the side of our country.
Yeah. Well,
you know, O'Reilly said the government can't afford to operate because of union wages and benefits and stuff like that. And in the meantime, they're both union people. Did you know that? both O'Reilly and Limbaugh are members of the AFL-CIO. American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. They're both union members. O'Reilly admitted in an interview, I have a quote here. On a personal note, I am a member of a union, AFTRA, A-F-T-R-A.
Right.
And when I was working at Inside Edition some years ago, the King World Company tried to renege on our pension benefits. AFTRA took them to court and the case was settled. If the shop had been non-union, we would have been stiffed.
And O'Reilly is?
And he has the balls to say that. And then he has the balls to turn around and say that the union people in Wisconsin have to give up more.
I swear they won't stop until they get rid of all the unions and they lower the minimum wage and they get children back. You know,
that's just, I'm sure that's what they're shooting for. They want 13-year-olds making $5 an hour or less.
Yeah.
So they can compete with China.
There, for as long as I can remember, the Republicans have been saying the minimum wage is too high.
Right.
Which speaking of obscenity, it's just vulgar.
Absolutely.
John was telling me, John, who we both know, who I won't mention his last name, was telling me that this is the 100th anniversary of the American Shirtwaist Company fire.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I read that. Yep.
So here we are, 100 years after unions saved the fucking lower classes and built the middle classes, and they're clearly being attacked by the upper classes. Walker is literally a tool of the Koch brothers.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of Trading Places, of those two old guys from the movie Trading Places.
Who were just manipulating the hell out of everything.
If they didn't exist, you'd say you can't make this up. They're caricatures. They're characters from an Eddie Murphy movie. You know?
Right.
Obscene. And the problem is that fucking Americans are stupid.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you know, if you're a teabagger and you hear this podcast, and I know you don't, but if you did, and if you support this guy, you are just cutting your own throat.
You're cutting your own throat. It's like all the people that they get, all the little dirt poor people that they get with the term death tax.
Mm-hmm.
We're too stupid to know that the inheritance tax has no way of coming anywhere near them, and it's
until
merely
you're
a way
talking
of
about hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's an obscenity. It's perpetrated by a public relations machine that is both Fox News and the Republican Party. There's no difference between them.
No, there isn't.
If ever Obama wanted to do something, he should educate the American people. And it's about time we started teaching history again. I wonder. I mean, I haven't seen a high school history textbook in years. But considering the people that are designing these textbooks down in Texas,
Right.
You know, I'm wondering if there's any kind of, I will say it, celebration of the progressive movement in their history classes. Populism, progressivism, and the 1920s. You know,
right.
It's about time we learned where we came from.
Yeah, but you know, Max, here's the problem. The you stated it before. Americans are stupid.
This is a
population that believes that still a majority believe that Obama is a Muslim.
Yes.
There is a group of these people who believe that the Earth is 6,000 years old. There are some of them who believe the freaking Earth is flat. Okay? There are people who believe that he wasn't born in the United States. I mean, you know, this just goes on and on, that he's a socialist, all this stuff. You know, keep your government hands off my Medicaid has to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You wonder.
Right into it, hook, line, and sinker.
And it keeps coming out to me, coming out down to message discipline. The Republican Fox machine.
They're great at it.
They just say the same thing over and over again. I swear to you, if they just decided the sky was green soon enough, 20% of the people would say the sky is green.
Well, then they just did that poll recently that there were like 30 to 35% of Americans think that the health care bill was repealed.
Because
I mean,
the
how
House
stupid
voted to repeal it.
Right. How stupid can you be?
Well, you only can be as stupid as it takes to not pay attention to what's going on. Well, I don't know. I mean,
right.
they are paying attention. They're watching Fox News.
Right.
The problem is,
but like you said, the issue. I think the main issue is the discipline, the message discipline.
Yeah.
But I also think that the liberal media is wimpy.
I dispute the whole term liberal media.
Well, I'm using it specifically. I want to highlight the fact that I think that you don't have liberal talk show hosts who make anywhere near the splash that a Rush Limbaugh or a Glenn Beck do.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Glenn Beck.
They don't say those things.
Right, because they're sane.
Right.
And this gets me to a point that I wanted to bring up anyway. Let me take another pop of the dragonfly because I'm just getting warmed up. There's a guy named Pete Wehner who worked for Karl Rove in the Bush White House.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs. I got this from none other than Morning Joe. Pete Wehner is a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Previously worked in the administrations of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush, in the last of which he served as deputy assistant to the president, which goodness knows what that means, huh?
Bootlicker.
I thought you said he blew him.
Well, that too.
All right. But at any rate, according to Morning Joe, a good straight-up conservative intellectual. And I have no problem with the term conservative intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with the term intellectual. Anyway, so here's Pete. I did say Wehner, right? I want to say it right. Wehner. Glenn Beck has become the most disturbing personality on cable television. One cannot watch him for any length of time without being struck by his affinity for conspiracies and for portraying himself as the great decoder of events. Political movements are not just wrong. They are infiltrated by a web of malevolent forces. Others see shadows on the wall. Beck alone sees men casting them. The danger when one sees a world in such conspiratorial terms is that it devalues the rational side of politics. See, I'm with him here.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages a cast of mind that looks to expose enemies rather than engage in arguments. Few things, after all, are as they appear. Beyond that, of course, is a sense of impending doom, the coming apocalypse of our world being on the edge of calamity. If taken seriously, this has the effect of creating fear, hopelessness, and feelings of helplessness. Excuse me. What ought to worry conservatives in particular is that Beck has the capacity to to discredit virtually every cause that he takes up. He also confirms the worst caricatures of the right. What was true before is doubly true today. It looks to me like it is only a matter of time, and I suspect not much time, until he blows apart professionally. If and when that happens, one can only hope that conservatism as a movement will have created enough distance from Beck to mitigate the damage.
I mean, it's an interesting indictment. I think that it's true to the point, except that, you know, even if he goes off the air, I think it's too late. I think that there are way too many who will pick up the pieces and continue with the message.
You're probably right. Certainly Rush Limbaugh, who has no soul.
Hannity will do it too.
Right.
They'll pick it up in a second. I don't think O'Reilly would. He's a little bit more.
He's closer to rational.
Right,
although,
right. Although he can certainly be as irrational as the rest of them.
Well, I was listening to John and Scott a couple weeks ago, and they were ripping into O'Reilly about his defense of religion. And mm-hmm. he says, tide goes in, tide goes out.
Never know how it happens, must be God, right?
Right. Exactly. And then he talks about Mars has no moons, and they said, I don't actually know the answer to this, that Mars has moons. And O'Reilly said, you know, well, yeah, you say the moon is there, but where does the moon come from? Well, the moon is there. You know,
right.
it's there. It doesn't necessarily prove God. It proves the moon.
Right.
And then John or Scott, one of them, I think it was Scott, goes, dollar goes in, soda comes out. How does it happen?
Must be God.
Must be God. You know,
obviously.
I got a soda machine. I got a dollar. I got a car.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point of that is that as wacky as Fox News is, as surreal, as shameful, as propagandistic as Fox News is, even they can't stand Glenn Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Even conservatives have had it with Glenn Beck. He's,
right,
he's,
but there is a segment of the population that eats up everything that he says. They just eat up everything that he says. And they repeat it, and they believe it, and they defend it, and they don't have a clue as to what's going on.
It's the same – it's when he said, I believe that President Obama hates white people, I think that was the pivotal point at which there was no going back for him, that he is absolutely a loony. I heard an interesting thing about him. He got married not so long ago. I imagine it was a second wife. According to what I heard, probably again John and Scott, they decided to pick a religion. What religion should we be?
Mormon.
We'll be Mormon.
Yep.
But it has nothing to do with, like, fundamental beliefs. They just decided to be Mormons, you know, in the middle
right.
of the world.
I saw the interview where he said that.
That's
and
nuts.
Essentially the question was, you know, you're a Mormon, why? And he basically said, well, you know, Mormons get the chicks. It's how it started. And then he said, I was dating my wife, and you know, she was a Mormon, or she was considering a Mormon and being a Mormon. And if we were going to hook up, I had to become a Mormon. So I did.
Which means, in the end,
which means he has no personal sign of ethics at all.
Right. He'll blow with the wind.
That he can say that and be proud of it.
And let's face it, as male human beings, we have been capable of saying just about anything for the opportunity for sex.
Right. He just takes that to a different.
But a completely different level. I, lonely soul as I am, I will not say I'm a Mormon to get laid.
You sure, Max?
Yeah. It took me a second.
Even if it was Scarlett.
Well, if Scarlett was a Mormon, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be out in Utah right now and speak.
Yeah. I'd have huge doubts. But I might be prone to a bedroom conversion.
Is that anything that's similar to a foxhole conversion?
Well, it's similar to a deathbed conversion, but
right.
Without the dire consequences.
Right. But well, not getting laid, that could be a dire consequence.
Indeed it is. But anyway, I was proud and pleased to see. Actually, I was a little maybe disappointed that the conservatives have figured out that some of their people are utter loonies. But I'd be happy to have a conversation with real intellectuals. They might even beat me. You know, I consider it a possibility that there are people who are conservative that are smarter than me, but I don't think there's anyone who's loonier than Glenn Beck. You know, go ahead, make my day. Present me with an intellectual argument why any one of your positions is rational.
Yeah,
You want to have an intelligent discussion? Great. You want to celebrate intellectualism? I'm right there with you. But for God's sake, let's agree that the world is round, you know?
Right. I agree.
Am I asking too much here?
No, you're not.
Opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck-free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. New canary in the alley by the light switch, who watches over you?
Hi, this is Miss Nicole of 8 Beer Sampler Productions. You've been listening to Max and T-Fab-P, the fabulous penguin of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Listen to their podcast adventures at csapodcast.blogspot.com or download it free from the iTunes podcast store. Just search Countless Screaming Argonauts. The boys love to hear from you, so email them at csapodcast@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to show your allegiance to the show, pick up some CSA swag and help make the boys famous. You can purchase hats, shirts, and mugs, along with other appropriate gear, at Cafe Press. Click the link on their webpage. And thanks for listening.